Turn up the volume and grab your notebook. It's time to live life consciously. Welcome to Conscious Not Crazy. I'm Corey, your host, and a parent just like you. I'm here to share from my own experiences as a parent and educator to help you better understand the why behind your child's behavior and to provide you with tools to end all of the exhausting and unproductive power struggles. So feel proud you took the first step by tuning into this podcast. I hope this approach to parenting changes your life the way it changed mine. Welcome back to Conscious Not Crazy. I'm Corey, your host, and I'm grateful as always to be back here talking to you. If you're just tuning in for the first time and you like what you hear, please like and follow and share. Share this with other parents or anyone that you think might benefit from this content. I would be forever grateful for that. My goal with this podcast is to help parents and to be a support to parents and educators. This can be helpful to educators too. And actually, it could be helpful to anyone. You don't necessarily have to be a parent. The things I talk about could apply to your work environment, could apply to your spouse. It's just human behavior and mindset. But being a parent, raising kids, it's definitely challenging. And that is the context in which I share information. But if you're finding this information beneficial, please like and share and follow. I'm grateful you're tuning in. So something that has been on my mind, and I have friends that often call me that have kids too, and they will run into different issues with kids, as we all do, and challenges. I wouldn't even say issues, we'll say challenges, because parenting, it's a moving target. The struggle is always changing. Every day is just something different. And that's what makes it exciting, but also challenging. But after some conversations with some friends of mine, as they've been following this content that have come up, is the importance of questions. And I've touched on this in some of the other episodes, but I'm going to dive into that a little bit deeper in this particular episode and why questions are so important when helping and supporting your kids work through problems and struggles and when we're trying to manage behavior in younger children. And one thing that I find myself saying repeatedly is stop telling your kids and ask questions. And what I find is when I say that to parents, they're thinking, well, why am I asking them what they want? They're the one that made the mistake. They messed up. They don't have a right to choose. Why am I asking them? Because it feels weird. But what they're not understanding is when I say stop telling and start asking, what I'm talking about is basically coaching your child into solving their own problem. It is in some ways what they age appropriately, what they think the consequence should be. But it doesn't mean I'm asking them how to be the parent. It doesn't mean I'm asking their permission to parent them. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, and I'll give you a specific example. Just recently, my son, we let him go. It was spring break last week, and he went to go visit one of his dear friends that lives in Tennessee. So he flew to Tennessee with some other boys. There's two brothers and their friends from Kansas City flew there, and he came home. They had some flight issues, so they ended up stuck in Chicago. That's fun. Unaccompanied minors stuck in Chicago airport. That was a whole new experience. We'll touch on that maybe in another episode, but it was great and ended up fine. But when he got home, he didn't get a lot of sleep because they were basically stuck in the airport and he came home pretty grumpy. And when he got home, he was not being super awesome in the way he was talking to me, the way he was treating his sister and some of the choices he was making. So traditional discipline, what that might look like is, how could you act like that? What are you doing? You're not going to talk to me that way. You are being so disrespectful. I'm sure several of you could relate to some of those statements. Either you've said them or you heard them as a child from your own parents. So those are statements and you're telling the child, you're disrespectful. You're not going to talk to me like that. But when we sit back and think about that, is that motivating the child to change their behavior? Because the goal with what I'm talking about and my passion with Conscious Not Crazy is that we are conscious, so we don't feel crazy, and we're not adding to the crazy with our kids, right? And I want my kids to grow up to be intrinsically motivated to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to have self-control, to respond in the right way. I don't want to have external things motivating my kids because it's not sustainable. So what I would do instead, when someone's making those statements and saying things like that to you, what happens? The wall goes up. No learning occurs. They're in defensive mode now. So there's no coaching. There's no solving the problem. Our defenses go up. We either go to the emotional state of our brain or fight or flight. And then it just becomes a power struggle. And they're going to get defensive. You're the bad guy now. They're going to blame you. And there's no learning that occurs. So what I propose you do instead, and this is what I've been talking to my friends about, is ask the child. So when he came home, this is what it looked like. I said, I noticed that you're being kind of yucky. I noticed you're not being respectful. And he's like, well, I'm tired. I'm like, okay, great. So you're tired. I go, but what this tells me is that you can't handle that. So the next time you ask me to go on a trip and to go visit your friend, I'm probably going to say no, because what I notice is that you're not able to manage the lack of sleep when you come back and behave in an appropriate way. So if this is what's going to happen, then next time we're going to rethink whether we're ready to take trips like that. Then he says, well, I'm tired. We missed our flight. I'm like, okay, great. That's going to happen. That's why I didn't want you flying by yourself. That's why I wanted you with other, there were a group of boys, because those things do happen. Flights get canceled. There's weather problems. There's things that we are out of our control, which was also another lesson to him, because he wanted to change his flight and stay longer. And I wasn't comfortable with him just being alone and having a connecting flight in Chicago. And this was a great lesson. And why? Because he would have been by himself. But what I told him is that, no, we don't blame. Yes, those things happen. And what I say to him is, do you think that's an appropriate way to behave? Do you think that's showing more responsibility or less responsibility? Do you think that's showing me that you're ready to do this? Do you think that is building the trust I have in you to handle those kinds of situations? And of course, he answers no. Yeah. Like, so what happens is, when we're able to ask our kids these questions, they're able to process what's happening and make the connection to what maybe is wrong with the behavior, what's not working about their behavior. They're able to process that and articulate that back to me, as opposed to me telling them. So what happens when they're articulating it, when they're the ones saying, no, it's not showing responsibility? What's happening? Are they blaming or are they owning their behavior? They're owning their behavior, and that's what we want, because you got to own it. We live in a blame culture. Everybody wants to blame everybody for everything they do wrong. And I'm sorry, you can't control the world, but you control you. And I'm going to model that for my kids. And I want my kids to know that it doesn't matter what external things happen in the world, the only person they can control is themselves. So if you come home grumpy from a trip, and probably because he probably didn't get a lot of sleep when he was on the trip, because I'm sure they stayed up late and had fun, then you're showing me you can't handle trips like this. And then I tell him, I'm like, I want you to be able to go on these trips. I want you to go see your friends. I want that for you. But when I see this, that tells me maybe that's not a good idea yet. What do you think? Yeah, you're right. What could we do differently? I need to be more respectful. Okay. Are we being kind to your sister? No. Okay. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Bad idea. I'm communicating the same information, but if I'm doing it in this way, the child receives the information because really they're the one communicating it. And when we say something, we also processing it, we're problem solving, and we're internalizing all of that. So that's going to intrinsically motivate him to make good choices moving forward. So another example of this is, there were some poor choices made when we had some friends over one night. And again, he was focused on the problem, focused on the problem. And I just said, well, what went wrong? Why was that not a good idea? What would you do different next time? Is that building my trust in you or not so much? And he's like, not so much. Okay, is that going to make me want to go out and get you a car when you turn 16? Because that's our big thing in our house right now. He wants a car. And I said, a car is a big responsibility. And if we're irresponsible with a car, that can be very costly. And I don't mean costly in just financial costly. I mean dangerous costly. And so we have to show up and show responsibility in these other smaller ways to show me you're ready for this big responsibility. So we talk a lot about that, where I just say, what tells me you're ready for that big responsibility is when you can show up consistently and be responsible in these other areas. That might be getting up for school on time. Because I've said to him, I said, until you can get up for school on time on your own, be ready, be responsible, and do some of these very basic things consistently, we're not going to be looking at getting a car. So that is what I recommend. Hold your kids accountable by pulling the information out of them. Ask some questions. You're not asking them what the consequences are. Now, you might say, now my kids have grown up with this, mind you, not for the past 10 years. So I can't look at them like, what do you think? What do you think the consequence should be? Now, if I don't agree with it, I'm the parent. I'm going to set the consequence. But I'm also going to do it in a way, well, really, do we think that's an appropriate consequence? What do you think that should be? Because my kids know. Now, if you're just trying this on for the first time, the kids might not give you a realistic consequence. So you're going to have to coach them on that and guide them. But I think it is okay with an older, a teenager, middle schooler, high schooler to put that on then and talk to them about what makes sense for a consequence and what that should look like. I was talking to another friend and her son turned off the location on his phone. And we were talking about what to do about that. And I just said, going forward, set the expectation. Remember, we say the word I notice or I see the behavior because it comes from a place of no judgment. I notice you turned off your location settings on your phone. I want you to know that needs to be on. You're driving a car that helps me feel more comfortable about your safety. If you choose, because they have a choice, they can turn it off. If you choose to turn it off, that's fine, but this is the consequence. Your phone's going to be gone for 48 hours. So you can set that up. The more we set them up ahead of time, then when that happens, he turns off, let's say he goes 2 weeks, turns off the location settings. He comes home, it's like, hey, I noticed you turned it off. Hand me your phone. Remember, we talked about this. So 48 hours. Then there's no back and forth. There's no blame. It's like, he knew up front, this is what's going to happen if you turn it off. So it's your job as a parent to follow through on that. And you don't need to get into a big conversation. You just remind them of the previous conversation. Remember what we talked about? 48 hours. Yeah, just hand it over. And if you set it up like that, who are they going to be mad at? I mean, yeah, they're probably going to still be a little bit mad about you, but really they're going to be mad at the choice they made. Because that's the language I use. I noticed you made the choice. So they have to own their behavior and their behavior has consequences, which is how the real world works. We want to set our kids up for success when they leave our homes. We don't want to coddle them. We don't want to baby them. We want to teach them how the real world works. And the real world is not always fair. It's not always kind. And that's not an excuse for us to behave poorly. Because we don't like the rules with something doesn't mean we don't have to abide by them. We may choose not to go to that place. That's fine. You have a choice not to go there. But if you choose to go there, those are the rules. So everything I do is in the context of how the real world functions. And that's my goal. Now, let's say you have a younger child and they hit. They don't like something and they go up and they hit another kiddo or they hit their sibling. Again, questions like, oh, that was scary. You might notice. I noticed that you hit them and then you address the child that's been hit. But after that, it's like, were you feeling, depending upon the age, I might say, were you feeling really frustrated? And they're probably going to say yes, or they might say no. And if they say no, they don't understand how this works. So remember, you're the coach, you're the parent, you're teaching, you're guiding, you're lead guiding and directing your child. And so you tell them like, yeah, you must have been really upset. When we're upset, do we hit? No. And most little kids, when they do things like that, they're not doing it to be mean or malicious. They're not trying to hurt. It's more of like a reflex, like kids that bite. It's just like a reflex. That's just what they do. Because I hear parents like, oh, that kid's bad or that kid's mean. If that kid ever bites my kid. And I'm just like, it's a child. It's a child missing a skill. The child needs coaching. And the other child had a role too. Maybe they antagonized or instigated. You never know. There's the what happened before. We always go there too. But in this situation, again, questions. What could you do instead? Were you wanting to play with them? Or did you not like that they took your toy? Whatever you noticed happened that initiated this response, you address it. And then what can we do next time? Could we ask them if we could have a turn with the toy when they're finished? Could we ask them if we could play with them? Could we ask them if we could play next to them? So whatever the need, you have to identify what that, you have to kind of work with the child to identify what it is they wanted or why they reacted. But again, we do this by asking questions. And with younger kids, there is some guesswork involved. And they might just shake their head or say, so you're just guessing. And again, you're still coaching. You're assessing the situation. And as an adult, we have a lot more, we're able to take in a lot more information. So we can make a best guess. We can also ask the other child, oh, what happened before? I noticed you were hit. What was happening before that? To gather more information. So that way the conversation is going between the two. One's not better than, we're not shaming a child. We're just like an investigator uncovering the problem. And then we're going to coach them on how to solve the problem. But we do that in the form of questions. And it's no different with adults in the workplace, with a spouse. I was talking to a friend today. I train at a gym. And I was talking to a friend and she was sharing a scenario. And I said, just say, I noticed. And what her spouse did, and then make I statements. I don't like how I feel when you say that or when you do this. I don't like how that feels. And I'm trying to understand why you feel the need to do that. Because when you say it in that way, like, help me understand, I'm trying to understand, the person's defenses go way down. So they're more inclined to be truthful. And then you can really solve the problem. If a person's defenses are at a high, they're going to be less truthful and forthcoming with information because their defenses are up. So you're not going to be able to really get to the root and solve the problem. And the goal is to solve the problem. And the goal is to teach our kids how to intrinsically be motivated to do the right thing and to connect it to real world scenarios. So just like I was saying, when my son was trying to change his flight, and I mean, he does not quit. He will come at me from all different directions. I stood my ground. I said, no. I said, if the other boys are changing their flight, we'll look at it. But I don't want you flying by yourself because you have to connect in another airport. I'm not comfortable with you traveling as a minor because we didn't even set him up with like the airlines to have assistance with the flight because he was traveling with some older teenage boys. But I said, I want you with those boys. I want you in a group in case something happens. What was crazy is something did happen on their return flight. And he was stuck in an airport in Chicago overnight. And I was grateful that he was with these boys. And I just prayed that everything would go okay. But I will tell you, I didn't panic. And our kids are watching that too. Our kids are watching how we react when things don't go as planned. And again, I talk about that modeling of behavior. I talk about it every episode. I didn't panic. I didn't freak out. I just reiterated, make good choices. Like, you goof off on a plane or in a hotel in another city, or you make a poor choice, I'm not there. And like, we need to be very mindful of the decisions we're making. The boys were great and everything went great, but I really didn't panic. I felt Like, okay, he can handle this. This is good for him. This is a real life experience. It's showing him why I didn't want him to be by himself. They had to stand in line at the airport to go to customer service to get their flights changed. Of course, all the parents were on the phone with the airlines too, trying to find a flight, but we couldn't put all the boys on one flight together. They had to do that themselves at the airport. And they were able to get that done. Kids are so capable. We just have to put trust in them and coach them and encourage them. Because I told him, I'm like, you've got this. You can do this. Because he was like, Mom, you just need to do it. And I was like, no, calm down. You need to walk up to the lady. If you need to hand her the phone and call me, you can. But this is what you tell her. When he was on the plane, when they were worried about missing this connecting flight, which they missed, I said, get the flight attendant. He was texting me and ask her what gate you land at. And ask her what gate your next flight goes out of, because O'Hare is a huge airport. And I said, because sometimes the gates can be far apart, sometimes the gates can be close. I said, so I'm coaching him. He's like, well, Mom, we're just going to miss it. I'm like, no, you can't just miss a flight. Like, you've got to do everything you can to make the flight. You can do this, but you can't be goofing off. This is when you step up and show responsibility. And this was the conversation I was having with him. I'm like, nope, you've got to pay attention. You've got to be aware and you got to advocate. You got to get the flight attendant and ask her what gate you land in and what gate you take off. And he did. Well, then they landed and they had switched the gate. But he did do what I told him to do and spoke up. So this is why we want our kids speaking up at an early age and not afraid to ask questions. Don't order their food at a restaurant. Let them order it. My daughter used to hate that. She would just sit there and not want to order. And I'm like, no, you need to order. You need to tell them. If you have a question or you need help, I'm here to support you, but you need to do that. And it's like, you got to push them to be uncomfortable because there's going to be times where they have to go through discomfort and they've got to do it because nobody's there. I'm not there. I'm not on the plane. I'm not in the airport to hold his hand. So I've got to prepare him for those moments. And I do that by pushing him through discomfort when he is with me or talking him through it from afar. But ask your kids questions. Stop telling them. I know another thing I often hear, I do everything for you and this is how you treat me. Like if a kid's being disrespectful or talking back and it's like, wait a second, this is what that might look like instead. And then if we're saying it with this approach, the child doesn't feel under attack and we're able to coach them and figure out why they're being this way. So pull information out of them to have a conversation. So maybe they are being disrespectful and you do everything for them. That is a fact, right? We go above and beyond every day for our kids. But what I say to my kids when they act in this way is, hey, I noticed you're being disrespectful. What's going on? Like I knew in the scenario after the airport, because he's like, well, I'm tired. I'm like, well, that's not a good excuse. But if we don't know what's going on, what's going on? And then they share whatever they share. Okay, well, like, what's a better way to deal with that? We need to teach them those healthy coping mechanisms. But first, we have to find out what the root of the problem is. Because behavior, the iceberg theory, I love the iceberg theory. So the tip of the iceberg is the behavior. That's what we see. That's what we hear. And that's that just reactive behavior. But what we need to look for is what's underneath the water. What's motivating that behavior? It's no different. We wake up, even on one of those days where you wake up and everything goes wrong. Like everything's going wrong. You're spilling your coffee in your car. So I actually laugh at it now. I'm like, I'm not going to let this ruin my day because mindset is everything. And if I have the mindset of my day is going to shit and that's the mindset I have, do you think my day is going to get better or is it going to continue to go to shit? It's going to continue to go to shit. So I choose when I start to see things happen like that to flip the script and laugh and just like laugh at myself because I don't want my day to look like that. And I have control to change that because I can't control everything else. I can just control me and how I respond to it. So yes, ask your questions. Stop telling them what they're doing. Stop telling them they're disrespectful. Stop telling them all of these things. That comes from a place of judgment. They're not hearing you. They're tuning you out. They're thinking you're annoying. No learning's occurring. So ask questions. Dive in. This is also when you ask these questions, you're building connection. And especially as our kids get older, you want connection when they're little, but you want to have good connection with your kids, because when you have good connection, they feel safe. They're going to come to you when there's hard stuff, when there's big problems, when they run into obstacles. Ask questions. Stop telling and start asking. Thanks so much for tuning in. And if you live in the Kansas City area, I have an event coming up on April 13th. I'm going to have the event. It's going to be a morning event for moms. It's how to be your badass self and a mom. And it's going to be more of a workshop style for moms. It'll be super fun. It's just 3 hours in the morning, Saturday, April 13th, 9 to 12. I'm super excited. I'm going to have breakfast and it'll be more of an interactive workshop for moms. So if you're in the Kansas City area, you can register. I'll put the link in the show notes, but you can register through Eventbrite. And if you have questions, you can email me and that'll also be in the show notes. But I appreciate you tuning in. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share. If you ever have a specific question, feel free to email me, and thanks for following. Take care. Thanks so much for tuning in to Conscious Not Crazy. I hope you're finding comfort in knowing you are not alone. Parenting is hard and the struggle is real. I am forever grateful for this amazing community of like-minded parents striving to simply do better than yesterday. Until next time, keep on living life consciously. I can't wait to connect with you again soon. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and visit my website, consciousnotcrazy.com. All the details can be found in the show notes. Now go get back to the never-ending, exhausting, and yet most fulfilling job you'll ever do.